Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Bessa Shio. I'm Whitney Shio's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that every single marriage out there has a chance.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling.
That's right. And a lot of the tips we give here are really easy to do, but at the same time, easy not to do.
Wow, easy not to do.
Yep. And as always, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can like us on Facebook,
which is Facebook.com/ Live Your Best Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go back to the place where it all began, liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog.
Yes. So what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So today, you know, one thing that is really relevant for all of us right now.
And what is it?
I'm asking you. Do you know what that is?
Raising kids?
Technology.
Okay.
Yes, technology is something that I think all of us are using. Probably not as much as maybe some more than others. But it really can interfere with someone's marriage, though.
In a good way or a bad way?
Well, there are a lot of really good things that it can be used for. For example, if you're sending nice text messages to one another throughout the day or just things like that, that can really help. But the negative ways that it interferes are when a family is sitting at the dinner table and they're all in the same room, but they're pretty much in different worlds.
What do you mean?
Because if each person is on their phone and they're going online or they're texting, they're emailing, they're pretty much not really there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that can be a huge problem, though, for husbands and wives.
Do you think this is like an isolated thing for families these days, or it's pretty common?
I think it's something that affects everybody.
Wow.
It's something, yeah, I mean, I've heard people having issues with it at their jobs. If they're on their phone too much, mm-hmm. they get in trouble for that. But mostly what I want to focus on right now is how it affects the way partners connect to one another and just how we interact as couples.
And do you think this is more of a generational thing, like the young kids who are the 20-year-olds and the 25-year-olds who are raised with phones? Do you think they're having the same issues as folks who are not raised having cell phones all the time?
I really do think this is something that is affecting everybody. We were at a restaurant the other day, and a couple sitting across from one another, each of them had their phones out, and they were older than us. I would definitely say they were older. And they barely, I don't know, to me, it just, I mean, I wasn't like sitting there staring at them constantly or anything, but it from what I noticed, it just looked like they were barely paying attention to one another. What was going on their phone was the main thing.
Okay. So you're saying both of them were just eating, but at the same time they were checking out their phone.
Right. It was pretty much the whole time. Their table was just right next to us, so it was pretty much the whole time that we were there. And I've seen this happening with young couples, but this one in particular, they were definitely older. And I don't know how everybody's dealing with this within their household, but I can definitely speak for myself and say that it makes me feel like I'm not important.
Oh, okay.
When my husband is like constantly on his phone, I feel like I'm being ignored. So again, I can't speak for everyone else, but that's how I feel.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just get the impression that you'd rather be somewhere else or with the person you're talking to than sitting with me. So, but then again, I'm like, okay, there's a reason why that person is not in the room to begin with. They're not significant. It's just the technology that has basically upgraded an acquaintance to friend just because of the fact that where it's so easy to connect now through, whether it's through texting or Facebook or whatever it is. It's just so easy.
So do you think as a society, this more connection has actually brought us together, or is actually making the relationships worse? Or what do you think as a society?
I really, as a society, I love technology.
Yes.
We wouldn't be having this podcast right now if it weren't for technology.
Yes.
So there are a million great ways to use it.
Yes.
But personally, I feel like the boundaries, though, when it comes to relationships, the boundaries are pretty much invisible.
Okay.
Because when you exchange contact info with someone, you've pretty much just given them 24/7 access to you.
Yes.
I mean, they can text you or email you any time of day or night that they want.
Yes.
And so that's when I start to notice that the boundary just seems so invisible. It's just so easy to cross the line.
So it's more like, okay, technology has brought us more together, but at the same time, the relationships are more superficial.
It's to me, it's such a weird thing because I love Facebook. I love the way that it's so easy to keep in touch with friends that we had a long time ago, and it's easy to keep in touch with relatives who live far away.
Yes.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, as a couple though, sometimes Facebook can get really annoying. So, and we've had some of our audience members reach out to us and they've also shared some of their stories with us about how Facebook can get really annoying for them, and they feel like boundaries are easily crossed. But it's a weird thing how it can the internet can bring everybody together.
Yes.
It can connect all the different countries, like all different parts of the world. We can communicate
much easier.
But I guess what I'm complaining about is when it gets to the point where a family is just sitting there at the dinner table and the phones, it's like out of the question for a phone to be turned off or to be put away.
You know, I've had some families, what they are doing to take care of this issue is they are actually saying that if you come to the dinner table, no phones allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that's an awesome idea.
Especially just so that like family dinner time should be like family dinner time.
Yeah. And I am like super easily distracted if I have my phone with me. I can't help but check my notifications. I just can't help it sometimes. Sometimes if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I deliberately avoid checking. But most of the time, when I see that blinking light, I can't resist.
And is this something that you had mentioned earlier, something about fear of missing out or fear of missing a text?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, there's always that fear of missing out, but
you call it FOMO?
Yeah, oh yeah, the hashtag FOMO. Yeah, but so what I started doing, like when Pesa and I go for our once a week date night, there are times when I'll just leave my phone in my purse. But
yes,
that usually is not reciprocated on his end, but it helps me at least. At least I feel like I'm present in the moment.
Yeah, what I do is I just put it in my pocket and I just have it just for emergencies.
the emergency of checking the basketball score or whatever, if you get a text, but
yes, you check the basketball score as you are waiting.
You're waiting for the food.
Which is better than sitting there watching. Sometimes you are, there's a game which is a pretty close game and you want to make sure that
a close game and you have to, okay. No, sometimes it really, it can actually make a person feel like, okay, what's the point then? Like, really? Wouldn't we rather just be at home then with our phones?
Yes, I see what you mean. And from now on, I will never I'll never bring my phone with me.
It's not about bringing the phone. It's
just for emergencies.
I don't think people should have to go to the extremes, but I know like from some of the messages we've received from listeners, it's if somebody's actually mentioning the word like words like ignore or like they just feel like they're being dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely when it becomes an issue.
Okay, so if the other person is saying, oh, they're ignoring me.
Right. Okay. I think that's, I really personally think that's a huge issue that needs to be taken care of.
And I see where you're coming from, because there's even some restaurants where, I don't know if it's catching up, but there's some restaurants where you go in and you leave your phone at the desk.
Are you serious?
Yes, I think it's, I don't know if it's in San Francisco or someplace, but they're trying to have folks go in there and just have a great meal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they're doing is basically just go there and leave your phones, check in your phones before you sit in.
Oh, so they're trying to be intentional about...
Yeah, yes.
About just enjoying the human meal. Interaction?
Yes.
Oh, enjoying the meal?
Yes.
Oh.
But in a way, it's very interesting to see how this will happen as we're having kids who are raised mm-hmm. from pretty much when they are born with iPads and like just having technology from the time they're in the crib. What will happen when they're 20, 25 and they're having these dating relationships?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, some of the really young people might not think this is an issue.
Yeah.
But for me, I definitely do, because I know what life was like before.
Yeah.
I know what our dates were like before we were so attached to our phones. So, again, I mean, I can totally relate to the fact that someone would feel like they're being dismissed, because it's also, there's so much temptation online, though, as well. I mean, it just, it brings a lot of easy access to things that could have been easily avoided a long time ago. And I just feel so bad for the couples who are facing the problem of porn. I really, really feel terrible, because that's something that I think has gotten so much worse because of the technology.
Yes.
But again, I mean, I still have to go back to the other side of it, of how, like, all of the great things that technology does for us.
Yes. So,
but I still believe that it's possible to find a balance.
So what are some few tips that you can give us just to help us find the balance?
Mm-hmm. So I think that distraction is one of the main reasons why this is so hard, especially even, and I admit it, for me personally, I know, like, I have that temptation to check my alerts a lot, but that also ends up being a really big distraction for me when I'm trying to get things done. So some of the tips that I would suggest are maybe leaving a specific time to check your phone, or maybe say, like, okay, I'm going to check my phone every hour. And that's really hard to do, because we actually have a friend of ours who made that promise to herself. She made that commitment a few weeks ago, saying that when she's at work, she's only going to check her phone once every hour. Because for her, too, it was also becoming a really big issue. She couldn't put it down.
Okay.
But so far, she says it's going really well. She's able to do it. She's able to avoid checking it, you know, every 2 minutes or whatever, like she was before. So that's something that I need to try. And I think that's something that everyone could give a try. Another tip is, if you are going for a date with your partner, I honestly think if the phone can stay in the car or if you have kids at home and you're concerned about a babysitter trying to get a hold of you,
yeah,
you could at least...
And that's what usually my biggest concern. That's why I have my phone with me, just to make sure that in case of an emergency, there's ways for...
So if it could at least stay in the pocket,
yes,
I think that would be extremely helpful for a lot of people. And then for the families.
Uh-huh. Quick question. Are these tips for somebody who is, they're just starting to date, or for somebody who is already married? Because I don't know.
It can be for anyone. Because we, again, as we said earlier, technology is just so relevant to all of us. Mm-hmm. We all use it. We all have our phones. So this is for anybody.
Okay.
And it was interesting that you brought up earlier about the young people not really knowing a difference between being without a phone and versus just having an iPad, or yeah, you said iPad or tablet. Yes. Having a tablet in your hand all the time.
Yeah, they've always had a tablet.
Because that also brings the question, you know, are they going to have, does that mean they're exempt from having this feeling of being ignored then?
I don't know. I don't know, because I just, yes, you, for most of us, we are giving kids tablets when they are really young.
Yeah.
But 20 years from now, I think there will be another issue. Maybe mm-hmm. their brain will have changed in a way that the feelings of being ignored will be a different feeling. Maybe it will be ignored in terms of maybe you are not texting them enough. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because for me personally, at first, I didn't really think it was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did gradually start having these feelings of like, okay, this is too much. And so I started thinking more about it. And I was like, okay, texting, if you're like going back and forth in a texting conversation, you are literally having a conversation.
Yeah.
But it didn't really seem like it. It did, to me, it didn't feel like it. And then that was when I realized, like, oh, yeah, the other person, once they have your phone number or once they have your email, they really do have access to you 24/7 because yes. they can send anytime. And then as long as I have that automatic response, like that urge to go ahead and answer my notifications, then basically that means I really am giving them access to me whenever they want.
Yes.
So I think the suggestion of only answering things at certain times, if you can, if that's something that, if this is becoming an issue at your house, I think that it's worth trying.
Yes.
It's easier. It'll be easier said than done at first. But I think that if it helps, if you start to see benefits from that, then I would say it's well worth it.
Now, and most of us are not brain surgeons or heart surgeons who have to have their emergency mm-hmm. room doctors who have to have their phone on at all times because they are expecting that call from the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us can be away from our phone for a while before,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like the world won't crash because you are not on checking your messages every 5 seconds. But there's a fear, there's always a fear that you might miss out
mm-hmm.
on something very important.
Right, right. And there are a lot of really interesting blog posts out there that talk about how online chat rooms can very easily turn into emotional affairs and then, or even a physical affair. And I know that's a big risk. I know that's a huge problem. But even if it's not getting to that level, I still think that it could be inappropriate even without it reaching that level.
Yes, the level of just...
I mean, even if it doesn't reach the level of cheating,
yes.
I really do think that it's not always appropriate, and it's not always the best case scenario for your marriage, because your spouse still very well could end up feeling left out or feeling like someone else, for whatever reason, is getting more attention than they are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
and you know, this just reminded me something. When I used to work in the hospital, you'll find, you go to a room and folks are there to see a family member who's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting was the little kids were on iPads. Mm-hmm. The tiny little kids were on iPads. And all the maybe young to maybe middle-aged folks were on their phones. Mm-hmm. So the patient is on, the patient is watching the TV.
Mm-hmm.
The little kids are on iPads.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle-aged folks are on their phones. But there was, the interaction was with the screens.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting, especially when in the middle of the night, if sometimes you'll have like a dying patient who, we all know maybe they're on hospice and they are passing away.
Mm-hmm.
So at that, those are the times where we have family members staying during the night, and they're like there, maybe they have one or two people there just to stay with uncle or grandpa till he passes away. And you walk in a room and mm-hmm. unfortunately
mm-hmm.
somebody's on Facebook. And I'm not here to say you can't be on Facebook, but it's
mm-hmm.
to me kind of defeats the purpose of mm-hmm. being there. If you are there to hold his hand as he's passing away,
mm-hmm.
why would you be at that precious moment? Why would you be on Facebook?
Right. But
also, I don't want to date myself so much, because some folks who are 16, 17, 18, they'll be like, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm still here. I'm still talking to grandpa, but I still need to also check out what's going on in Instagram and Snapchat and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the issue of a generation gap
mm-hmm.
can
mm-hmm.
come in.
Right.
Especially people who are 20 or 21 and they have been on Facebook since they were 10. Mm-hmm. You told me you have a friend who...
Mm-hmm. She, yes, the young lady who babysits for us sometimes.
Yes.
She says she's been on Facebook for 10 years.
Yes.
She's only 21 years old.
Yes.
But...
Yes.
So I was like, wow.
So half of her life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's still a kid to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
half of her life she's been on Facebook. So right. How does this relate to her?
Right, right. So when you saw the patient's family members in the room, you felt like their focus was away from him.
Yes.
Because, and it was on whatever was on their screen.
Yes. But yeah. But sometimes you might, the way they look at the situation, they might be like, we are here, we mm-hmm. took time out of our day, we showed up here, we are actually spending mm-hmm. time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And being on the phone or being on Facebook, mm-hmm. is not taking time away from spending mm-hmm. time with him, because we are here, especially for the young folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to have this conversation, especially with somebody who has grown up having a phone on their hand.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So I think the main point that we're trying to make about this is that if someone does feel like the focus is being shifted from the people who are in the room to whoever it is whoever yeah. you're communicating with.
Yes.
On your device, tension can start building up slowly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that pressure is going to be put on the relationship pretty soon.
Oh, yes.
At that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, I really want to encourage everybody to go ahead and just enjoy that face-to-face time when you are in the same room with your partner.
Yeah.
Just enjoy that interaction. And I really, again, I would really like to strongly encourage to try to reduce the number of distractions. Because even if it's work-related, it can really be a huge, huge distraction.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, to a like, to an extent, I'm sure it's needed, but it gets to a point where it's like, okay, really?
It's a pain, especially, and if it's getting hard, if you can just carve out sometimes, like dinner time or maybe a few hours where you can just spend time with your kids, mm-hmm. high school kids or whatever kids, that will, like, without a device,
mm-hmm.
just to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. So if you do get to a point where you start to feel like technology is affecting the time that you have together, then I would definitely suggest having a conversation about it and try figuring out some of the things you can do to make that situation better.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And especially if you feel like there's a problem, there's a lot of resources online. And Dr. Townsend and Dr. Cloud have talked about boundaries, which I think this is an issue of boundaries too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. And of course, just as we had mentioned earlier, there are two sides to every coin. I mean, their technology can be really, really great. It can help people connect who never would have been able to otherwise. It can also help you and your partner connect more too. You have more opportunities to, you know, you can text each other, you can send cute pictures, messages, yeah. Yeah, pictures and cute messages to each other on Facebook, all of those great things. But there's a bad side to it as well. There are things that can be extremely harmful to your relationship. And the truth is, I mean, because it can also help you keep in touch with people who really, really honestly are not significant in your life. They might seem like it, yeah. But at the end of the day, they are people who really can just come between the two of you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So that's definitely an issue that I would just like to encourage everybody to look out for.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And again, to say that again, mm-hmm. if you start feeling that, like, you are being ignored or feeling that they're not paying attention to you or your feelings are not taken into consideration, I think it's a really good idea if you start addressing that as a real issue or not just the other partner is being too needy or something like that.
Yeah, and because also another scenario that I'd like to point out is if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and they pull out their phone because they hear it beep and they just start messing with it.
Yeah.
If that's a coworker or a friend or just whoever, that probably wouldn't bother you very much. But if the person you're married to does that often, then I can definitely see how that would create some bumps in the road for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And I mean, we all do that. Nobody's perfect. We've all had that instinct to pull out our phone when we hear it beep. But again, if somebody's like right in the middle of a sentence, especially the person you're married to, I would highly recommend not doing that anymore.
And it has happened to me sometimes. I'm trying to explain something to a client and as mm-hmm. I'm talking, mm-hmm. their phone beeps.
Mm-hmm.
And so their eyes and their focus goes to their phone, fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to explain, so I literally stop. And they're like, yeah, yeah, just continue. I can mm-hmm. hear you. But mm-hmm. that the vibe just goes away.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I mean, if it's someone you work with or someone you're not very close to, it can be annoying, but it might not be a huge deal. But if you're having a conversation with your partner and they just continue to text some other person that you might not even know, that's not fun. That's not fun for the person who is feeling like they're being
ignored.
So,
and I even read somewhere, I don't know how true this is, but there are some couples who the need to check their message and the need to check their notifications is so high and to reply to a message is so high that they will want to finish sex faster to go back to reply a message or to reply an email.
Wow, that doesn't sound like very much fun.
But yeah, a lot of folks do that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would be an issue.
Yeah. I'll look
Gosh.
for that article. I'll look for that article and share that with you. I thought it was kind of creepy. Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Folks, once again, thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio.
That's right. And of course, you can follow the blog at liveyourbestmarriage.com.
And Facebook at facebook.com/liveyourbestmarriage. Folks, until next time, God bless and take care.